Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers, the podcast where we highlight bold leaders making a difference across industries and communities. I'm your host, Melody Bradford. Today's guest is someone who blends business acumen with deep personal purpose, David Robertson. David is a key executive at Shift4, one of the most innovative companies in the payments tech space, and the founder of Joshway, a nonprofit rooted in the belief that every young person deserves a pathway forward through inspiring, leading, and learning. But beyond that, David is also a father, a faith-driven changemaker, and now an author of a new children's book inspired by his own family's journey. We'll talk about that book, along with his co-author, Glenn Breslauer, who's also in the studio with us today. Glenn himself is a trailblazer, a dynamic professional integrating financial advice, entrepreneurship, marketing leadership, and authorship. From creating and launching consumer products, the first of which has been recognized and awarded by QVC and the other featured in Golf Magazine, to mentoring at Apple, founding a consulting firm, and writing books rooted in psychological insight. He brings unique values-driven approach to business and client relationships. This is going to be a conversation about grit, grief, giving, and growth. So let's dive in. David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Melody. What an introduction. I'm like so cheesy right now. I wish everyone could see it.
I try to do my research there.
Yeah, you're good at this.
Take us back, David. What experiences in life shape your view of leadership and service?
Great question. You know, I think it's a great opportunity to salute my late father, Anthony Stephen Robertson,
who I just lost in
December to cancer. Growing up in a broken home, Dad was the rock. He was, man, he was awesome. He was the very first Black police officer in Claremore, Oklahoma.
Wow.
Which was a very challenging time, you know, growing up there. And he was a deacon in the church. He was a minister. And, you know, going from a broken home, you know, you were faced with a lot of challenges. But when I tell you, he raised three boys, my oldest brother, Mark, me, and no longer we have Josh, but Josh. And he worked three jobs. Oh. And to provide for us, we all played sports. He showed up to every single game, all of us, all of our games. And we definitely were in church on Wednesday nights and Sundays, and he never missed a beat. And so to have a North Star like him, showing me what strength is and service over self, great question to honor him and what he's instilled in me. So he's my why. Great example as a father.
Let's talk about one of those other whys. So Joshway. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share the story of your brother Josh with us and how this legacy sparked the founding of Joshway?
Josh, you know, as I said, you know, growing up in a broken home, you know, my mom took him and she really, you know, had things to deal with on her own. And, you know, I saw Josh as he grew up, he just didn't have like the right balance of support. And so as he got older, life, you know, sets in and didn't really have like the life skills, or as I would call a Josh way, to balance him out, and just had the, you know, wrong ways of coping. You know, maybe it's the gateway drugs and then the drinking. And then, as you know, he took Xanax and had fentanyl in it, and we lost him. But he was battling ever since he was a little kid, but needed the right support around him. So when I lost Josh, and you know, 2021, you know, being a leader and then my skills and my day job, it was time to put our hat in the ring and try to do something. And his story started by way of a dream. It was beautiful. I remember November the 28th, 2022 is when I had the dream. And Josh grew up where my mom took him back to Houston, Texas. That's where most of my family is at. And every year we would, me and my oldest brother, we would go back to Houston and we would stay with my grandfather. He was like a barbecue pit master. And we're Creole, so he would always have the Zydeco music going, and it was just something special about that. But in this dream, I remember being back in the kitchen, and my grandfather was holding a tray of barbecue, and he would always call my little brother a certain name. He always called him Joshua. He's like, hey, come in here. What are you doing? And sit down. And so in the dream, he's holding this tray of barbecue, and he starts to scream out, Joshua, come in here. It's time to eat. Joshua, it's time to eat. And that name starts to loop. Joshua, Joshua. And then in my dream, there a hit. Josh Way is a way of life. He was an awesome basketball player, a musician. And Josh Way is seeking out our calling in life, our why. And that just made sense. And then the timing of it was incredible because November is my birthday month. Mm. And then the year 2022, those are four numbers. And if you add up the two, four, six, April the 6th, 1989 is when Josh was born. Oh, and that birthday was baked in that year. And then 28 is 8 and 2 is 10, and 6 and 4 is 10. So when you have a dream like that, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, and then you put all the put it all together, you know? Yeah,
and then go to joshua.org, and it was available. And so when you see us moving the way we're doing, yes, we're apt to build. But, man, when you have a dream like that, you know that it's not you moving, but it's life wanting to birth something special through us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. You mentioned that your dad was a deacon in the church, and faith seems to be a pretty essential pillar within your life. How has it influenced your decisions, both personally and professionally?
Yeah.
And how, you know, this movement that you're doing, how does that all play in?
Yeah, so 2019, before COVID, you know, growing up in church, it's always been, you know, part of my life. And sometimes you're a knucklehead and you kind of get off the beaten path. But mm-hmm. around that time, I start to see, like, life telling me to go back to my, you know, my faith principles. And then I remember a scripture came to me, was Jude 1. And that is, and on some have compassion, making a difference. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I do is seek to understand that everyone is dealing with something. Mm-hmm. And not looking through the eyes of judgment, but through grace and understanding and of service, and on some have compassion. And that's always been my mission statement that I carry dear to my heart, is that scripture, because we all need help, and we need to not judge or criticize. We need to seek to understand and then rally and support each other.
That's a really good point. It begs a question, you know, what did your journey through grief teach you about empathy and purpose and resilience?
Yeah. Even through this journey, I remember I did Simon Sinek has this course called Find Your Why. And about in 2022, I took a journey with a facilitator because I was like, find my why. That sounds cool. And so it was a 4-hour session, and I talked about my life from childhood through the ups and downs. And out of it, I wrote, I am a bold warrior that believes in the transformative power of personal change, spreading hope and resilience. And I was like, wow, okay. And it all added up because, you know, broken home.
Is that then, the mission statement of Joshua?
That is David Robertson's mission incredible. Statement. But as the founder, it should be in the mission, right?
Yeah,
and that, and absolutely. So you're the founder, you're the visionary, and so that's in our DNA. So little did I know that is the Joshua DNA, starting with myself. So, and then, you know, there's got to be hardships to make that a true statement. And did I want to lose mom? Did I want to lose Josh? Did I want to lose dad? No, but then these are opportunities for me to live out my why. But then to believe that tomorrow is possible, and not to look in the past, but to dream of what tomorrow could be. And I'm a dreamer. I have big dreams, and no one can take that away from me. That's my superpower. And I tell every young kid, oh, no matter what you go through in life, your superpower is the ability to dream. And when you do, come to Joshua, because we can help you make those dreams become a reality.
Yeah. So for those that may not know, and I kind of touched on this in the intro, but what is the actual mission of Joshua, and how is it unique in the nonprofit space? Because there's a lot of great things happening in the Lehigh Valley. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do, how you do it, and who maybe you do it with.
Yeah. So we're bridge builders, and we're having fun doing it. So We build bridges in youth-focused organizations, and our passion is to guide the youth through five key pillars. So public speaking, financial literacy, digital knowledge, not being taught a lot, digital knowledge, health and wellness, and career readiness. Think of this as an onboarding experience. Like, we must get these five pillars in our kids above everything else because they're not being taught or it's not being done in an organized manner. So we came up with a model called the Josh Way Bridge. Think about someone had to have built the George Washington Bridge or have a vision for it. That's us. We're visionary. But then there's also the same group that have to have the skills to do the project management piece of it, of actually bringing it all together. And so what we do is just offer that service and doing it in a way that's collaborative. Like, you see Joshua, the way we built so fast, the secret behind that, it's technology, AI, and here's the secret, delegate, 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 delegate. And the Joshua Bridge model allows us to get these life skills in a community collaborative way because each pillar is us bringing in a subject matter expert. It's a vendor, as we call it. But then that bridge is a historical mark that we're building in these communities. And it's just something out the box, but it builds capacity. It allows us to put more time into the nonprofit space because we know that's needed. And we're young and our eyes are youthful. And that's just how we saw the problem. And little did we know the community really needed bridge builders.
Can you share with us an example of how those community collaborations and those bridges have helped you to scale impact, like a specific example, maybe use? I kind of know a little bit about the organization and what you guys are doing.
So we're actually building a bridge right now in Miller Symphony Hall.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to my friends Amanda and Lucy and Margaret. They were a city that wanted to have these life skills in. And so we built our first pillar last year, which is the Youth Toastmasters pillar. 18 kids walked in, barely could speak for like 30 seconds, but they not only learned to speak 4 to 6 minutes, they actually ran the chapter. So there was a soldier at arms, a president, a vice president, a secretary. And then the secret sauce to, anything we do, we tie liberal arts into technology. So after they got their Toastmaster certificate, we made way for them to go to Apple and to tie it into the app Keynote.
Oh,
so we meet the kids where they're at. The liberal arts is great, and we've been doing that for years. But what about the technology piece? So we're picking that part up, and we're tying it back into the liberal arts. And our desire is to not just bring that skill set to the kids, but we want to start training the trainer because we all must be looking at liberal arts. We must tie the technology back to it because that's what the kids need. And so we're here to be of service to that. So, I mean, and even just that track alone, we had our story aired recently and you would see a young artist. Her name is Ayeka. She's like 17, 18 years old. And it's amazing when you're doing the work with the kids. Like, everyone say, David, I see you everywhere. I say, yeah, because I need to be resourceful, because when that kid finally opens up, when we earn their trust and respect, mm-hmm. and they open up and say, hey, like, I want to do the thing, then I need to be able to say, I work for you now and make a phone call. I got to get that kid busy right now. So I'm making friends, leveling up, because we know how to get the kids to talk. I can relate with them. I think we're just so cool. And I mean that humbly. Because my generation is needed. We're 38, 39, 41, and we just know how to respect the traditional way of liberal arts, but we know how to tie it around technology and meet the kiddos where they're at. And then another kiddo, his name is Isaias, and I think he may or may not be starting a podcast soon, and it may or may not be with WDIY, but he said, hey, I want to be a podcaster. And I said, hold on. And I made a phone call and I said, I'm going to work hard to get you in your Josh way.
That's awesome. So that's an example. But what has been some of the most rewarding and most challenging aspects of running Josh way thus far?
Well, we are a startup, right? So we come out of the left field, 25 years in fintech. And so to be able to build something in the middle of building a life and being part of a very fast paced organization, and then thinking outside the box and trying to get everyone to see our vision or give us a chance. Like, we're kids. We're young. We're apt to build. We got ideas.
Yeah.
And so to break through that and be resilient and say, I'm not giving up. If we sound confusing, to not be discouraged, but to continue to say, okay, how can we get better, and take meetings and knowing that someone will finally give you the financial support. I mean, this is all the growing pains, but we're not giving up because life doesn't want us to, but we know we belong here. And I think time will reveal when the entire vision comes together, like what we're doing is global. We just need the time to do it and to continue to get the love and support that we're getting, because the doors are opening up. Everyone's been awesome and supportive, but just birthing this idea, right? It's always
rewarding and challenging.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your role at Shift 4, right? So your day job gig, or I don't know where you're at in that space, but you know, you've been a senior executive there. They're a leading force in fintech. What drew you to this space?
Yeah, fintech. Fresh out of high school, I needed a job. Little did I know, you know, fintech was where I would land, and then got a chance to meet the young executive team. And we're all like very, very young out of school. And I was very blown away how young Jared was at the time. I was like, who's that? Like teenager. It's like, that's the CEO of, you know, United Bancard. And I was like, wow, that is impressive, because I knew he was successful then. So I ended up, you know, joining the team back in 2022. So I've been with, you know, Shift 4 for about 21 years now. And then my skill set has always been to take a vision or execute a plan, visionary plan, to understand it, and then put the right people in the room to execute results. And so that has been incredible, because that's where I learned a lot of my skills. Is just, we're very fast paced, boldly forward is what we say. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the things that I do at Joshua is just, I've been working in that kind of space for over 20 plus years.
So, you know, for those that don't know what Shift 4 is, you know, they're known for bold innovation. They basically have converted, you know, a lot of the payment processing, the way that mm-hmm. has evolved. And now they're into, Jared specifically is into space flights to stadium payments, right? And everything in between. That secret sauce that you talked about behind the culture, do you think that that's given, you know, a little bit of foundation for how you're running Joshua now and you know, kind of propelled you into the nonprofit space to say, I'm going to take this bold move and I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this pivot. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I remember like maybe 10 years ago, it's time flies. I was solely responsible for integrating our onboarding experience. So you get an application, it goes in, and you get it approved. You ship them the credit card machine. Keep it simple. But it was my job to lead our workflow when we acquired 5 companies. Mm. So I had to integrate 5 work streams in one day.
Oh, wow.
And you learn to be scrappy and fast, and when you're making bold steps. So that's just one of many projects that I've worked on. And every time executive team was like, how you feeling, Dave? And I would put my hand out and say, my hand is steady. The car is not swerving. And so to bring that into Joshua, it's just an honor. And then I saw that fintech does have a place in the nonprofit space, and we're going to birth that too, because I see everyone, you know, under stress with grant writing. But I see unrestricted funding. I come from a place where recurring revenue is a thing, portfolio or referral bonuses. All I see is financial freedom. And so anyone wants to talk about that, joshway.org, you know, come find me, you know, david@joshway.org. I'd love to talk to you about that. But there is another way. We don't have to be manipulated by, you know, the grants. Sometimes it's confusing, or what am I going to do? Like, I don't see that. I see there is an answer, and I'm holding it in my hand. And we're willing to give out the secret sauce, because it's a collaboration move. And then at the end of the day, Joshua is a salute to Jared's leadership. It's cool to follow his dream. He's inspired so many people. But, you know, when every time I get a chance to talk to him, I said, Joshua, is a salute to your leadership. You know, you showed us that we can do anything if we believe, and you've given me so many opportunities to level up. And so the biggest salute you can give a general is to find your own way. Mm-hmm. And that's what Joshua is. It's the way that I chose to lead my life forward.
And so from the nonprofit and the business arenas, how do you define success? Or how have you defined success?
I think one thing I learned is, like, I hear you have to run a nonprofit like a business, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, it's kind of challenging to ask for money, but you got to really, really do that. I think the business acronym that I have is, at least the way I see Joshua, it's you got to be able to work like a business in the sense, like, you like for us, if you look under Joshua's infrastructure, like, we're totally automated. Like, we don't have any Google Sheets. I mean, we got to build to be scrappy and fast so that, you know, the administrative stuff is on automation. We're using AI. We're using all that so that there's only like 7 of us on Joshua. Mm-hmm. And we all have full-time jobs and family. And you see the strides that we're making because we respect the business piece and tie that in into the nonprofit. And so now the piece is, you know, monetizing so that you can have the funding to do your mission. But for me, it's the operational side. We're super tight there. And we're just trying to keep turning that key on the funding piece. And we got ideas and opportunities. But once those two start clicking, sky's the limit.
And celebrating the small wins, you know, along the way.
Right? Yeah, I love that.
Part of the success.
Small actions equals big outcomes. Yep. Big believer in that. Little wins is what we would say. Just get to the next mile.
So let's talk about a little win, or maybe a big one, huh?
Yeah.
You and Glenn here recently published a children's book inspired by your brother, the nonprofit, David, that you founded. Can the two of you tell us about the book and what it means? So it's Joshua and the Power of Resilience. Talk a little bit about that.
I have to say one thing. My name is not on that book, and it's for a reason. I'm so proud of Glenn and Maggie for birthing this book. And when you talk about Joshua, working with Glenn, you know, I said, Glenn, I need to pull out that gift. You got to tell me, man, like, what is it? Because that's what Joshua is about. It's finding out what's good in us and to be able to speak it and then rally around it and then birth it. And I told Glenn, I said, this is your baby, man. And I'm like, don't put my name on it. Like, this is all about you and Maggie, and what I get to do is champion and celebrate such a beautiful story where Glenn brought my little brother back. And Maggie, she's so incredible. She's like 28 years old, fresh out of college. And we found her, and I said, Maggie, how many projects you've done before? She's like, this is my first one. I was like, what? I said, hang on to this rocket ship, girl, because you are going to be famous. And as the founder of Joshua, as the leader, it's all about uplifting each other, and I must hear what's in your heart. I need that seed. And then we're going to plant it in the field of Joshua, and then we're going to watch that grow, because now Glenn is in his Joshua, and you're going to hear from him to tell you about the story. But now he's glowing with that Joshua vibe, and now Maggie's glowing with that Joshua vibe, and now they have a story, and now they're influencers. So I'm so proud of Glenn, so proud of you, man, for this book.
Thank
you for bringing Josh back, man.
Thank you.
Glenn, give a 5-second synopsis on the book.
Absolutely. The book is The Power of Resilience. And really what it talks to is competencies that we all have internally, right? Our own struggles that we go through. How do we overcome certain things? And this book talks that children pretty much have all the tools that they need. We just want to pull it out of them. And so Josh is representative as a superhero here. Whether he is a superhero or not, in their eyes, he actually is. Because they see him as he's helping them solve a problem. But in the end, really what they see is, oh, you're just like you. You and I are the same. And you just helped me overcome something. Well, what did he pull out of him? We pulled out the Joshua inside of everybody. And that in this first book, there's a whole series that's to come. But in this first book, it's the overcoming and using resilience for that.
And so, you know, as you're talking, my mind is racing and I'm thinking to myself, there's a leadership trailblazing story within this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here we are on Trailblazers, right?
Yeah.
You went from fintech to nonprofit, which you're still in that space, but you're making a pivot.
Yeah.
You created, and I'm looking at you, David, saying that. Now I'm looking over at you, Glenn.
Sure.
You know, you're an inventor of mm-hmm. sorts, right?
I've
you
created,
have something
yep.
that Golf Magazine has featured as being sold through Golfsmith.
Yep.
You also have something, a product that was awarded by QVC.
Yeah.
You guys have made pivots. Like, what? Tell me a little bit about that. And from a leadership perspective, what that's been like for you and now authoring a children's book and what the, you know, why? Yeah. Why now? Why this?
If I can actually say, so I've written before. I'm published since 2015.
Okay.
This is my first children's book. Mm-hmm. I've never really had the idea to write a children's book. And David and I met and we started talking about the Josh Way mission. And one night I woke up, walked down to my computer and wrote this entire story in 15 minutes. This story wrote itself.
Josh.
I'm not even kidding
book.
You. I said Josh wrote a book last night. I woke up the next morning. I said to my wife, I think I wrote a book last night in my sleep. And I looked at all my notes. And then I said, I started doing some character development. And we found Maggie, our illustrator. And she said, you sent me an entire script. And she drew everything from just a script. And so that's why I say this was that moment inside of something being unlocked. And it just came to life. And there's like 10 more in the series.
Oh my gosh.
Overcoming and just seeing it that way. Like every time I've ever invented a product or had something, there's been a full development track. You know, a lot of trial and error and process and reprocess and troubleshooting and piloting. And this was none of that at all. This just came to be because this was meant to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so are all 10 written?
They're all outlined. This one's already ready. This was done. The other one's already outlined and
ready
to go.
Are you open to collaboration? Just
say,
we'll talk offline.
Well, I'll give you, can I give you one secret to the book?
Sure.
So we not only bring back Josh.
Right.
He's the figurative story. He's the character in the story. We also brought back my grandfather as representative of the other child that he helps in the book.
Yeah.
And other characters along the way will be all people who've had impact in your life, even your life, Melody. You give me a character, they can come back to life in a book,
one.
In a story again. So when we can collaborate offline, you tell me the person's name, and they will come back to life in a future book with Josh.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, okay, we have some books coming up, obviously. What's next? What's next for Josh Way? What's next for you guys? And as you look ahead over the next 5 years, what should we expect to see?
More wins. We're gonna keep moving. Life wants us to exist. I mean, it's just been mind-blowing. The stories like The Dream and Glenn writing the story of Josh Way in 15 minutes and Maggie... It's amazing, and we're going to continue to birth this vision that we have and serve the community. And the secret to everything that we're doing is we believe anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah.
And I think every step is a step of faith and boldness, and it just keeps materializing. And so we want to keep showing in the world and making it a better place. The Josh Way. And I don't know, Glenn, if you have anything.
I have one thing to add to that. You'll probably hear from us again on our digital diet. We did a talk back over at Cedar Crest College about the digital diet and what children are really missing today. And it's the respect for how to use technology in a way that's not harmful. It's not negative. It's just a tool. And when it is purposed right, it's actually things that can create things like you're holding it here in your hand. This was all done digitally. So the digital tools that David spoke about earlier that at the bottom of every liberal arts track is what we're going to uncover and we're going to be able to teach to the public.
Wow. So inspired. You guys are just incredible. David and Glenn, this has been such a powerful conversation. David, you've shown us that true leadership isn't just about climbing the corporate ladder. It's about lifting others up along the way. From fintech to philanthropy, from storytelling to service, your journey is a testament to living boldly and loving fiercely. To our Trailblazers audience, if you're moved by David's story, as I have been, because I'm misty-eyed, I'm going to share, please check out joshway.org to learn more and support their mission. Until next time, keep blazing trails and keep building legacies that matter.
Thank you, Melody.
Thank you.
Thanks.